We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Our guest right now, our NFL insider here on 93.7 The Fan, the Hall of Fame writer, the professor, John Clayton. John, the big football story today is this Melvin Gordon situation now in L.A. where his agent is saying he either wants a new deal or a trade. What's your reaction to this story?
It's a little bit hard because you would think, okay, you want a new deal or he's holding out, and you figure he's holding out. You watched that all last year with Le'Veon Bell. But to demand a trade, that one I don't get because what team is going to step up and pay the big money to do that, along with giving up a draft choice in a league right now that, for the most part, doesn't like to pay running backs? And so, I don't know his agent because he's kind of a new agent, I guess. And so that, I think, to put the trade demand on him, that's a little bit too much.
John, do you expect to see this more and more? Is it going to become a problem that becomes more commonplace where, you say it, the league doesn't seem to value running backs in most cases? Guys that aren't maybe picked in the top couple of picks in the draft, your exceptions being Saquon Barkley, but guys outside of that who produce being unhappy about their deals, do you think this kind of continues down this path for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, and I think really, I mean, in some ways, you can blame Todd Gurley for this because, Todd was able to get the $14-plus million contract, and now look what he's going through because, looking at his knee with the arthritic condition, and I was talking to a couple of general managers this week, and they said, hey, we had him off the board because of the knee, and this is when supposedly everything was going great. And so because they thought, in fact, the word was for some GMs, they didn't think Todd Gurley could make it through his rookie contract without having knee problems. Now, he did. He got the second contract, but now you can see that he's not going to be the same back. And I think there is a growing trend right now because there's so many backs that are coming out of college that you kind of mix and match them. And unless it's going to be a Saquon Barkley or an Adrian Peterson or somebody like that, you figure, okay, if I'm going to get a 1,000-yard, 1,100-yard back, I'm not going to pay him $13 to $14 million.
John, do you think Gordon could pull a Le'Veon Bell and take this holdout into the season and maybe stretch it out for an entire season?
No, not at all. I mean, it's like, that's particularly at a running back position because, I mean, look at Le'Veon. He's never going to be able to make up the $14.5 million that he lost by missing last season. And now all of a sudden you're an older back. And once you start to get to the ages of 27 and 28, then all of a sudden you start to become expendable because now you're not going to be able to get the big money. So, no, I mean, I think that he can push the demand. But, again, at the start of the regular season, if he misses a game check, it's a major mistake. I mean, at least Le'Veon, I think, taught everybody in the league, running backs and everybody else. It's like, if you're going to do the Le'Veon Bell thing, it's just not going to work. So it's almost like the trend that people thought was going to happen when Kirk Cousins got the three-year, $84 million totally guaranteed contract. It's like, oh, look, they're going to get the guaranteed contracts. Well, you notice they haven't. And that's because it's kind of an anomaly. And so, no, this is not going to be a trend. Unless Melvin's going to be stupid about it. So, no, this is not going to be a trend that's going to continue.
What's the end game then? Just the status quo for running backs prevails? Hope that you produce enough in college that you get drafted high enough to get a big signing bonus or a big guarantee like Barkley, and then if you don't, well, you're kind of out of luck. It sounds very much rock in a hard place for the position at large at the moment.
Yeah, and I guess what you can really look at is that it's like where you're drafted, because that's becoming now such a big item in the National Football League. Because if you're drafted, if you're a playoff team, I mean, you're pretty much getting a second round grade, from 21 to 32. And, unless you're producing Pro Bowls every year, then and you're producing big numbers every year, you're probably not going to get the top dollar. It's sad, but that's just kind of the way it is. And that's the growing thing because, again, you can see if you're a running back, and follow what's going to go on with Ezekiel Elliott because, there's the top talk right now that he's not going to get a second contract. The idea is you can keep him for the fifth year with a fifth-year option if he's a first-round pick. Then you can come back and put the franchise tag on him. And then if you have him for 6 years, now he's 26, 27 years old, and maybe he's all used up. So, it's unfair because that's the way it is, but it's a business. And right now, the business isn't great financially for running backs.
John Clayton joining us right now here on 93.7 The Fan from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. It's Andrew Filippone and Chris Muller today. The Steelers play the Chargers October 13th on Sunday Night Football, so this Gordon thing will more than likely be resolved by then. So the Steelers probably won't catch a break in missing this running back. John, Antonio Brown turned 31 this week. We talked about on our show how Terrell Owens at 31 went from the Niners to the Eagles in that first year there. He was awesome, got the Eagles all the way to the Super Bowl. Now, I don't expect you to tell me here you think Antonio Brown will get the Raiders to the Super Bowl. That's far-fetched. But could you see or can you see Antonio Brown having a big season that might lift the Raiders to, I don't know, 9 wins and a playoff berth? Is that on the board?
No, I don't see that. Unless he can run the football or run after the catch and then play defense. Because the big thing is their defense still needs another year or so to build up. I mean, yeah, they were able to get one pass. They took 3 defensive ends, including, Khalil Farrell, who's going to be their main pass rusher. But they still have so many holes. They have holes in the secondary and all that stuff. And, I don't know how good their offensive line really is. I know the Pro Football Focus, I think, put them like about 28 or 27. And so they just have too many things they're trying to overcome. Remember, this is a team that was the 4th worst in football last year, and as busy as they've been, and I think, offensively, they'll have a dramatic improvement because you put him out there with Tyrell Williams and J.J. Nelson and all that stuff. I mean, Derek Carr, they can score some points, but the problem is they're going to give up enough points, and that's where the mistakes will start coming in, because if you get into a shootout, then all of a sudden I think the Raiders are in trouble.
John, something tells me Steelers fans will judge Brown in Oakland based on how many wins the team has. Brown himself might be judging it based on how good his numbers look. Do you think that he can put up all-pro level numbers with Derek Carr as his quarterback?
Yeah, I do, because I think Derek Carr, I think he's good. Now, maybe I have a higher opinion than maybe John Gruden has of him. But I think, because remember, this was a team that was down on its luck for a decade. And so they get Derek Carr, they make a couple moves in the offensive line. They get Michael Crabtree. They had Amari Cooper. They win 12 games.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, he gets hurt, and they don't go into the – I mean, he doesn't play in the playoffs. But still, he took them to 12 wins, and that's a great accomplishment for a team that really didn't seem to be all that good. So, no, I think that I think the way it's going to work, they're going to have it so he'll get big numbers. Because, they'll double team him and all that different stuff. But I think Williams will help out trying to take some pressure away as far as the coverage and that. No, I still think that, he can still have that 100-catch season. But you bring up the Owens thing and you bring up the age of 31. That's really the turning point for wide receivers. Because, a lot of times what happens if you're an outside receiver, look at Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, coming from Pitt, Hall of Fame wide receiver, you got the 31. Next thing you know, he's in the slot. And so, the numbers start to drift down a little bit from 31 on down, and still to a point where I think you watch his yards per catch drop down a little bit, but still I think the numbers are going to be there because I think they're going to try to force him to football.
We're talking to John Clayton, our NFL insider here on 93.7 The Fan. John, Bill Barnwell, who writes for ESPN.com, I like a lot of his stuff. He's very thorough, ranked every offense in the NFL going into training camp today, and he had the Browns 3. Okay. They've got a lot of talented players on paper with the Beckham Jr. trade, obviously. He had the Bengals at 13 with already their left tackle for the season. Looks like he's out for the year, the kid they picked from Alabama. And he had the Steelers at 15, so pretty much right in the middle of the pack and behind the 2 Ohio teams in the division. Agree or disagree that the Steelers are an average offense, John?
I disagree. In fact, it was funny because, I mean, I'm a big fan and a colleague of Bill and all that stuff. But, like, for example, I mean, sometimes you can, try to put the numbers together, and he's great using analytics and all those different things to put numbers together. But the problem is that, you got to go and look at the past success, and you try to build from that success. Like, for example, I think he had the Seahawks at 28, Well, you look back from last year, in the second half of the season, the Seahawks are scoring 30 points a game in the last eight games. And so it's like, okay, so just losing Doug Baldwin's going to make them now one of the worst offenses for talent as far as skilled position in the league. And you look right now, sure, there's got to be a drop-off. And I think that sometimes what happens is that you look at the guys that you lose more than the other guys that can do some things. Then you also have to look at the quarterback. You know, with Ben Roethlisberger being, you know, anywhere between the third and fifth best quarterback in football, you know, you still put those numbers up. And I think that Juju Smith-Schuster is, you know, he's a 100-catch guy. Maybe he's going to drop off a little bit not having Brown on the other side. But I still think there's enough good receivers, enough good runners, and definitely, I mean, a good offensive line that they can still score the 27 points a game plus. And if that's the case, they're better than 13, and they're certainly better than the Bengals.
A wide cast of characters behind Smith-Schuster, jockeying for kind of the second most touches and everything else, second wide receiver status, frankly, John, with the Steelers. Which guy do you think has the highest ceiling where if they seize that role, it's best for the Steelers offensively?
I think Washington. Because I think that he showed a lot of stuff in the preseason, how talented he is. And also showed that he just maybe didn't do it in the regular season as well as everybody thought he could. But I think that he's the next guy to step up. And that's the one thing is that you still go by history, right? And where history looks, the Steelers are without doubt the best team in football at drafting wide receivers. I mean, you know, they can lose Emmanuel Sanders. They can lose
Mike
Brown and all that stuff. Yeah, it's like you go through the years and you look at the receivers that they've lost, and then all of a sudden there's one or two guys there to step in and make the moves to get good. So, no, I think that – I mean, you put your trust in what teams are successful with, and with that in mind, I think that somebody's going to step up, but I think Washington's going to be the one that's going to be the number two guy.
NFL.com, John, has the Steelers as a sleeper team for 2019, and I think the rules when they put this together was you had to be a team that missed the playoffs in 2018 to qualify for this list. I'll ask you, when you think of the Steelers as a sleeper for what? Like, what, in your opinion, is the ceiling for this team in 2019?
Well, I think the ceiling is probably 11 wins. I think that's within reason. I mean, maybe 12. I mean, I said this is a good team. And, they got a break in the fact that the Bengals are still down and they're not getting their offensive line better. I'm not sold on Baltimore, particularly with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. And so that gives them a good division record, I believe. And we'll see if they split with Cleveland or if they, get the sweep over Cleveland, whatever. But it's like, I guess in the category that NFL.com has it, they qualify as a sleeper team. But it's like they're still one of the top five teams in the AFC. One of the interesting ones, I don't know if you followed, was it Pro Football Focus and ESPN.com put out their quality of teams as far as talent. Mm-hmm. And, they put, I think there was only like of the top 14 teams, I think there was only five that were in the AFC. And so there's one playoff team missing. But again, Pittsburgh, I think, was sitting number eight for overall talent. And maybe that might be a little bit low, but they're still in the AFC among the top four.
This might seem like a silly question on its face, but in terms of the Steelers maybe reaching the potential you laid out for them, who is more important, Devin Bush or Ben Roethlisberger? And I say that understanding that we know to a degree what Roethlisberger should provide them.
Yeah, it's always going to be the quarterback. I mean, quarterback, it's a quarterback-driven league, and the quarterback drives everything. And a quarterback as good as Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, sitting with a Hall of Fame quarterback, that's great. But again, I think the Devin Bush one was a sensational move, and it was a good move for both teams because Denver profited, the Steelers profited. And, and again, this is kind of that rash reality. If you're sitting there with a 20th pick or 18th pick or whatever, I mean, you still may be getting a guy with a second round grade. They moved up and they got a, Ryan Shazier type player who I think is going to be a Pro Bowler for many, many years. And also a guy who can set things up for the defense at the line of scrimmage. So no, I think that, Bush, I think is going to be one of the most valuable guys on defense. But again, Ben Roethlisberger is the one that drives the team.
John Clayton joining us. John, you've lived in both places, so you're the perfect person to ask this question to. Where does it rain more, Pittsburgh or Seattle?
Well, I probably it's weird because sometimes you don't get La Niñas and El Niños in Pittsburgh. I mean, you got the Lake Erie effect, which, of course, goes over. But I still remember in 1986, you know, when I was trying to make the decision to move and all that stuff. And, of course, it was a no-brainer because, again, a nice chance. As tough as it was to move out of Pittsburgh, I counted up the number of rainy days in Pittsburgh and versus Seattle, and it technically was even. It was 165 days. Now, I don't know with climate change and everything else if that's readjusted, but it's one where, you know, I think it's pretty even. The only difference is in Seattle, you don't shovel it in the wintertime and you don't sweat in the summertime.
John, you're a Braddock man, so not necessarily having to be familiar with McKnight Road, one of the worst roads of all time. I almost got swept off there today.
Flash floods.
I mean, did McKnight Road have a reputation, even among Braddock folk, that you stayed away from McKnight Road when it rains?
Well, normally from Braddock, we didn't have the money to be able to get out to McKnight Road. That would be one of the issues there. But yeah, it's like, you know, once you get past the tunnel and all that stuff, it's one where it's like you don't get the opportunity to get there that much, and there's not a lot that you know, I would be going over there for. But still, the times that I've driven it, I mean, it was a challenge.
John Clayton, our NFL insider. John, we'll do it again next week.
Thanks, John.
Okay, sounds good.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.